Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. I don't like talking in these microphones. How is everybody today? I hope everyone's doing well. Everybody, come on in. We're going to recognize first-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors to my left? No? Okay. How about in the middle pews? Any first-time visitors? Okay. Or to my right? Okay. Larry, do you see first-timers? Okay. The attendance pads should be in the pews, or hopefully they'll be passed out. So please register your attendance this morning. Do we have any announcements?
Children will not meet tonight. Youth will, but children will not. And we inadvertently left it in the bulletin, and we apologize for that. But children will not meet tonight. But we'll next week. Next week. 5 o'clock next week. That's fifth grade through five-year-old. Five-year-old through the fifth grade if you go the other way.
Okay. I know we did have some committee meetings tonight. Several of those are listed in the bulletin at 5 o'clock. Christian Education Committee meeting is at 4 o'clock, so if you'll be there, and if anybody's interested in sitting in on Christian Education Committee, please be there at 4 o'clock.
David, is the Maintenance Building and Grounds Committee going to meet, David?
I haven't heard of anyone.
Okay. We'll talk about they can meet after the fact. There's a few things that need some attention, yes. Okay.
Do we have any prayer requests or concerns today? Tammy?
Steve Ivey passed away, a young man at his bachelor party. Bill Stevenson, who was raised in this neighborhood, passed away. The funeral was yesterday. It's Peggy Wilson and Carrie Osborne's brother. And so he passed away. The funeral was yesterday. So lift up the family of Bill Stevens. And many of us know Miss Carrie from being the secretary or the bookkeeper at Nolensville Elementary for years and years and years. And then Mr. Beniza, Jimmy Beniza, his mother passed away. Listed in the paper is Margaret L., I think, or Margaret Beniza. Funeral's tomorrow at 10:30 at Hickory Chapel. The Benizas are 8 o'clock service people. And Karen Hawkins is Ms. Beniza's granddaughter, or the Jimmy and Frida's daughter. So. Mr. Reverend Sadler, I don't know him though. I know him, but yes, okay.
Any other prayer requests?
Keith Gregory is the son of a high school classmate of mine, and they think he's had a stroke. He's 35 years old, but they're still on the test. I hope he's just a small pop.
Any other prayer requests? Any other prayer concerns? Okay. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer to lift our hearts up to the Lord. Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning?
Please stand.
God sits above the circle of the earth. God stretches out the heavens like a curtain.
God brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of earth as nothing.
The Lord does not faint or grow weary. God gives power to the weary and strengthens the powerless.
Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God.
Let's turn in our hymns now and sing praises. Hymn 506.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me.
On the cruel
cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In His boundless love and mercy, He the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, His triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory He giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Sing of my Redeemer and His heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with Him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, Would you bow with me for prayer? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we have heard. We know that You are the Creator of heaven and earth, and we come standing in awe before You, thanking You, Lord, that You're a Creator of people, all that is good. And we come, O Lord, thanking You that we can be a part of Your world and Your creation and Your kingdom. We thank You, Lord, that when Your creation strayed, that You sent Your Son to redeem us, to call us back unto You. So we come today just thanking You and singing joyfully that You are our Redeemer. Oh Lord, thank You for loving us. Thank You for caring. Thank You for letting us be Your people and You being our God. And as we have come together this day, Lord, we pray for the leadership of Your Spirit, that we can just glorify You with what is said and done. And Lord, teach us through this experience as we come to meet together. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Apostles' Creed, it's on the screen or it's on page 716 in your hymnal.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Across the confession, the psalmist said, I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by sin. Our prayer of confession, we want to silently confess our personal sins to God, who is rich in mercy. There are some suggestions for prayer, and I'll read those real quickly. That we have not loved Him with our whole heart, that we have failed to be obedient to His word, have not done His will, and have broken His law, that we have rebelled against His love, have not loved our neighbors, and have often refused to hear the cry of the needy. If you'll offer your personal confession in silence for just a moment. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our words of assurance from Psalms 147. The one who covers the heavens with clouds prepares rain for the earth, makes the grass grow on the hills, gives animals their food, and takes pleasure in those who fear the Lord. give God the glory, sing God's praises, and rest secure in God's blessing.
Thank you, and it's good to hear a worship service in English today. Haven't understood much of what's gone on the last two Sundays, for that matter, for 2 weeks. And I bring you greetings from South America, and we had a great trip. And I will share more pictures. The slides that were showing were pictures from our trip this last 2 weeks. Next Sunday at the soup lunch, I've got a video, and we will see some more pictures then. Share some things with you about the trip. It was a great trip. Amazing Grace. Hymn 202.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Grace that taught my heart to fear, and fear my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Has promised good to me,
His word, my thoughts endure. He will not shield and hold up me as long as I endure.
Must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Will our ushers please come forward?
Let us pray. Lord God, Paul tells us that you love a cheerful giver, but he also expresses that you love us all in other places. We come this morning cheerful because of what you have done for us, saddened because it took the life of Jesus to redeem us, but thankful and happy, even rejoicing, that you were willing to send him to die for our redemption. As we come today, Lord, we thank you for many material blessings as well as for this special blessing of salvation, the important blessing. Lord, we pray for you to so move in us that we would rightfully use that which you have blessed us with. And Lord, we pray that you would direct the leadership of this congregation, that it might be, that which is given might be rightly used for your honor and glory and for the promotion of your gospel. And Lord, we pray that you will give us a cheerful spirit in our giving as well as our receiving. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you.
children would come up with Miss Andrea. And we do have children's church today. So children may go to children's church.
Everybody. Good morning.
Good morning.
Y'all doing okay this morning?
Yeah.
Well, there's something about me that y'all might not know, and you won't be surprised. You know how much I like animals and everything, and you know, occasionally I'll see an animal that has died for one reason or another. And yesterday we were coming down our driveway, and how many of you know what a red-tailed hawk looks like? Have you ever seen a red-tailed hawk? Okay, well, we have red-tailed hawks that fly around our house all the time. In fact, I have to go out to the bathroom with my little dogs because the red-tailed hawk would like to have one of them. And so I watch him, you know, to make sure that he doesn't get them and protect them. But yesterday we were coming down our driveway, and there was this beautiful red-tailed hawk laying right next to one of our fence posts, and he was dead. I hoped he was just knocked out, but he was dead. And we looked at him, and he was such a magnificent creature. And, you know, God created that red-tailed hawk. And I was just amazed to look at him. He has what they call talons, the claws, and they're very powerful. He can actually fly down, and he can see from way, way up. And he can fly down, and he would get one of my little dogs if I wasn't watching him and take off with him. But his colors were so beautiful and everything, and it made me really sad. And I thought about how our Lord and Savior sees, you know, he tells us in the Bible, he sees every sparrow that falls. And he also knows each and every one of us inside and out. Valentine's Day is coming up, right? This weekend, actually, it'll be on Saturday. And I want you all to remember that if you have someone that needs to know the love of Christ, and there's lots of them out there, you need to share that love, because it's a love unlike, you know, sometimes Valentine's kind of stuff is kind of here today and gone tomorrow. The Lord's love is with us each and every day. So remember, if you know someone that needs to know the love of Lord of the Lord, to please share that with them. And in the Bible, the Lord said, and this is the words written in red, which what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 43, and I'll just kind of paraphrase it. He says, the world tells you that you should love your neighbors and hate your enemies. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said we need to love our enemies. You know, the hawk, he's kind of an enemy of my little dogs, but I don't hate him. I respect him because he's powerful and he's beautiful and he's a creature that God created. But we need to love each and every person, even those that are not nice to us. And we need to share that love that's going to be with them forever. So let's remember that as Valentine's Day approaches, okay?
Not a one-word.
scripture today?
The reading from Mark 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and Jesus began, the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed as many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went out to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Do you know Rob Truitt? Probably don't. Rob Truitt, a long-term acquaintance and friend of mine, a personal friend, fellow preacher, and he is pastor at the Dixon Cumberland Presbyterian Church. I give his name this morning because I am borrowing from him. Newsletter. A lot of newsletters come to our office, and I read most of them most weeks or months. Some of them are monthly, some of them are weeklies. And I read Rob's message to the people, or message from the pastor this week, and thought it said something worthy of me sharing with you this morning. And it fit with the scripture lesson that I was already working on. So I certainly thought it was appropriate. But I like to give him credit. We're told if we don't give credit, we are stealing. And I didn't want to be accused of plagiarism or stealing this morning. Biblically, the church has three functions, or a threefold function, if you will. Take a minute to get to that. A threefold function. One of them is a Greek word, kerygma. You know what kerygma is? Well, I took just enough Greek to get by, to pass and graduate. And so I have to go look it up every time. But Rob told us, kerygma is a Greek word for preaching or proclaiming. Proclaiming. And it's the church's role or function to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Another thing that the New Testament church, or biblically the church is charged with or called to do is koinonia. And some people pronounce that a little different, but I'm not sure how they pronounce it, and that's what I learned. Koinonia. It's a Greek word for fellowship. It's also a Greek word for sharing, for participating, and for contributing. And we have allowed you to participate, or encouraged you, or helped you, or enabled you, or given you opportunity, however you would like to see it, to participate in various ways. And one of the things that we're trying to do is have a person from the congregation to read the Scripture. Harold read it this morning, and we'll probably ask somebody else next week. Now, sometimes I ask, and they're scared, and they don't want to read, and that's okay. Just say, I don't want to. I keep saying, everything we offer is an opportunity. And if I don't ask, you might say, I'm available to read the Scripture. And we'll try to get it to you at least by the time the service starts. But hopefully, where you can practice a little bit before. Okay? But koinonia, contributing to the service. Contributing, and we give an opportunity to contribute to the singing and through the giving of our financial resources or our money. But participation. Participation through singing. Fellowship. Some churches don't believe in fellowship. Some individuals, some Christians don't believe in fellowship. They say that they come to church to hear the message, and when they get through, they want to slip out and go home and meditate upon the Word. That's okay, I guess, but biblically, there's a lot of fellowshipping going on in the New Testament church that we find talked about, in especially the book of Acts and other places too. Sometime in Corinth, it got out of hand, and Paul had to say, hey, fellas, folks, girls, your fellowship is out of hand. You're doing too much fellowship. They used to, years ago, we talked about this for the church, and there are some diseases that will kill a church, and if a church just fellowships, I think it was koinonia-itis, and it got to the point of if fellowship goes too far, all the church ever does is fellowship, don't proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation through Him, we're not doing much with our fellowship. But anyhow, fellowship, sharing, participating, and contributing. And then there is another function of the church. The word deacons come from this, diakonia. Koinonia and diakonia. Service. Outreach. Missions. And in today's lesson, we're looking at Jesus and the small group that He was with, and we find all three, plus one more. And this is more an individual thing, and Jesus did it individually, but it's in this lesson. It is Jesus stealing away to pray. As we look at this passage, we see it a full 10 verses, right? Back somewhere along the way, I heard somebody in a speech, and I guess it was in college or seminary or somewhere along the way, maybe just a lecture, somebody used the word publicly that this idea is pregnant. And I said, huh? You don't say that word publicly. That was years ago. That's something you only talk about a woman being with child. You remember those years, don't you? Wow. Some of those old times would be good to come back, wouldn't it? We wouldn't be so open with everything. And that phrase came to me this week. I don't know if the Lord revealed it to me or reminded me of it, or the devil, and you can be the one that determines that, whatever you think. But this passage, or what it meant, that idea was full, a full idea. Well, this passage is pregnant with information about Jesus and his work in the world and people responding to him in what he did. It is full. 10 verses, at least 4 points, and all these points can be broken up. How long will you stick with me this morning? Okay, the ministry of Jesus. What did he do? Or another way to look at it is not a question of what he did he do, is just make a statement. What Jesus did, especially early in his ministry, when he started out. And that's what we've been going slowly through the first chapter of Mark, and we're not through yet. Slowly through the first chapter of Mark, Jesus starting his ministry. Jesus. He ended up on the cross. We know where he ended up. Actually, he didn't end up on the cross. He went further than that. They took him down. They buried him. He rose from that grave. He ascended to heaven. And he has been guiding us through the presence of his Spirit ever since, if we'll let him. Trying to get our attention, if we'll let him, when we'll let him. And then he's promised to come back. So he didn't end up there. But his earthly life ended on the cross. But he came to new life again and lived 40 days with a resurrected body. A body that did not die. What Jesus did. What Jesus did. That's what a portion of what he did is before us today. A full passage. A full 10 verses, if you will. First thing we see in this passage is healing. Jesus did a healing, or performed a miracle of healing. Healing is service. Doing a service to someone. Doing a service. Healing is a service. I grew up working at a service station. It was healing sick cars. Car would get out of gas. He's sick, right? Put some gas in. Gasoline. Run out of water. It's sick. You put a little water in. So we were servicing cars. We were changing oil, washing cars, blowing air out of the cars. We didn't have vacuums in. Just blow the air out of them. It'd go everywhere. Changing tires, airing up tires in the hottest part of the day. Taking off the hubcaps. Just to check the air in the tires, they'd drive off without buying anything. But we were in the service business. 4 summers. Oh, and a Christmas or two. I don't know which is worse, the real cold or the real hot. Never got to work there in the spring or the fall. But we were doing service. And what we see Jesus here is doing a service. He is performing a service for this sick woman. And to the one being healed, healing is quite a service, right? If you've been sick, and I look back and see Mr. Sharpton there, and he's been sick, and just to get close to getting well, it's a great service. He's been cooped up in the house, and the wife is wanting to get out and do something, and he hadn't. He's on his way, right? Yeah. But to get healed. And the ones close to the person healed. It's a great service to them. And then, it's one of the greatest kinds of service. The hospital might be called a service station for sick people. I don't know if that's original or not. I don't know if the hospital people would like to hear that or not. But that's what we go there to get service, their service, to get healed, hopefully. Jesus heals one. This one is Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law. It is believed that this household was not a household of the rich and famous. It is believed that this household, Peter and Andrew, were rather poor people, at least not past middle class. Working people, fisher people. And Jesus goes to this house and he heals Peter's mother-in-law who is sick with a fever. But why did he go to the house? I think he went there for a time of refreshment. A time of fellowship. Remember last week's scripture lesson? It's the preceding, I believe, 8 verses, 21 through 28 or something like that. Mark 1, 21 through 28. Jesus went into the Capernaum and went to the synagogue and started preaching. They invited him to preach and he preached or spoke and he spoke with authority. And then the next thing we read about is there's a demon possessed man or a man with an evil spirit. Mark never says it's a demon in that passage, but Luke refers to it as a demon. But it's a man with an evil spirit or an unclean spirit, some versions, and the unclean spirit starts screaming at Jesus. Knew who Jesus was. Talked to Jesus. And Jesus had to make him be quiet and then removed him from the presence of the man, the body of the man. He came out doing all he could to hurt the man, that is, the unclean spirit of the evil spirit did. Threw him into this, whatever it is, made him shudder all over, I think one version says it, and I'm at a loss for a word there. But I believe that was a trying time on Jesus and those with him. Those 4 disciples with him. So he went there, I think, for a time of fellowship following this tragic but good. It was a terrible, difficult experience in the synagogue, but it turned out good. Jesus got the demon or the evil spirit out of the man, and I believe Jesus and those with him were in for some relaxation. I have preached numerous funerals, and some of you have heard this, so bear with me for the rest of you, or at least for illustration. Through the years, I'd go home and say, "Carol, I'm so tired." And she'd say, "What did you do?" And I'd say, "Well, I did this, and a funeral." And then the next time I'd go home, I'd say, "Carol, I'm tired." And she'd say, "Well, what did you do?" And that would be another day. And it seemed like every time after a funeral that I had officiated at, I was extremely tired compared to other days at the end of the day. And we finally figured out that funerals just do something to you emotionally, and that does something to you physically. And I can believe, I can't prove it, but I can believe that Jesus and them had an emotional experience with this evil-possessed man, and he called him out and sent him on his way and freed the man and made him well, but it was draining on their energy, and they went there for some relaxation, and they needed this. And it was at the home, like we said, of Andrew and Peter. They got there, and they find Peter's mother-in-law sick with a fever. She's in bed, and they told Jesus that she was sick in bed with a fever, and he went to the sick woman. He took her by the hand, and he helped her up, and the fever left her. But that's not the end of the story. Why did he heal her? Because you need to be healed. But what did she do after she was healed? Now, my imagination runs away sometime or gets carried away, and I got to thinking, what would we often do if a person been in the hospital, comes home from the hospital, and what do we do with them? We put them in bed, or we at least put them in the recliner or the rocking chair, maybe the orange painted rocking chair, and let them rock and rock and rock. Then we bring a hassock, is that what you put for their feet to get on? And we put their feet up on a hassock, and might get a blanket and cover over them, and we bring them a a bowl of ice cream or a glass of iced tea. And we say, now you sit here and rest. You've been in the hospital and you're sick and you need a little help. And some people may not be fully recovered and they may need that. But that's kind of the way we do. But when Jesus healed this woman, he didn't, or she didn't say, let me sit in that good chair. She didn't say, let me, bring me a glass of tea. She got up and started doing the serving. A service had been done for her and to her, and she in turn started serving other people. And that's the way it is. She gave it, well, she returned this one to Jesus. She served him, but she gave it forward also because she served the rest of the people also. Healed. She was healed, and at least in this story, she was healed so that she could serve. So she could be a servant. One of the functions of the church, service. I'm guessing, if you just read this little short passage, I can find evidence that there was some fellowshipping going on. Again, maybe my imagination, but some fellowshipping going on. Koinonia. Would you think so? They probably talked about what happened in the synagogue. They probably talked about, more of those people were bowled over, Jesus, with your authoritative teaching. And they were really taken with you getting that evil spirit out of that man. And they were saying, Jesus, you're the one. You did so good, Jesus. Much fellowshipping. And they were talking to each other saying, boy, didn't he do good? We're proud to be with him. We've got a winner in him. Can you believe that? Much fellowship. Maybe they were just enjoying each other's company. And that's important for Christian people. And then they were enjoying the company of Jesus. And that's important too. There were much rejoicing, I think, in his work back at the synagogue. Jesus came to serve. And in this passage, we see him serving. And in this same passage, we're going to see more of his serving. The one he served, in turn, served him and others. Have we ever been served by Jesus? If you're a Christian, you have. If you're a believer, you have. We who have been served by Jesus, we who have been forgiven, that's a great service. We who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We who have been justified, we who have been sanctified, and all those other theological terms. We who have been saved from sin and Satan and hell. We who have been served by Jesus, in turn, serve Him. Peter's mother-in-law gave us an example here. We serve Him and we serve others. And Jesus' healing ministry continued. Jesus healed many. He healed many sick, and He healed many who were demon-possessed, or he healed various diseases, and he drove out many demons. Here, verse 32 is printed before you. It's in your Bible. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. He was a hit, was he not? And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak. We talked about that last week. We don't argue with demons. We can't win. They are shrewd. Jesus knew that. Jesus said, don't even let them speak. A good lesson to us. Don't even get in a conversation with them. The evil spirits are the demons. They knew who he was. Many gathered at the door. He healed the various diseases and drove out the demons. And then there's the prayer. Jesus took time to pray to the Heavenly Father. This is not the only time. This is one time. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. I was riding around yesterday. I have this little Saturday afternoon exercise that I do, and it involves driving and praying. And I drove by Giles Creek Baptist Church, right down the road here, Rocky Fork. And on that sign they have out front, at least one side said, "Quiet times with God, store up power for future engagements." I drove on down the street where they wouldn't see me copying their sign, but I'm giving them credit in it. Turned the corner and stopped and wrote that down. I hope I got it just right, but that was the gist of the message. Quiet times with God, store up power for future engagement. Now, whether it's to store up power for the future or to replenish that has just been used, we, like Jesus, and even more so, need to spend time with God. Steal away and pray. Teach and Jesus didn't limit himself to one community. And as I come to this and read this in 21 years one place, 11 years one place, 7 years one place, only 3. What is the right length of time for a minister to stay? Who knows? Who knows what is right? I don't know. You may know, but I don't know. Pass it on to me if you will. If you know. One friend of mine, I said, "Why do you move so often?" And he says, "I need a new challenge every 4 or 5 years." But look at Jesus' reason for leaving. Jesus could have stayed there and worked and probably been busy for years and years and years, at least for months. There in Capernaum, there were good things that needed to be done, and he could have stayed there and done them. He could have been ministering, serving, fellowshipping. There was much healing for him to do there. And the people were looking to him. We said he was a hit with them, and they were so happy. But he went on to other places. Jesus replied. They came to find him. The disciples did. They came to find him. "Where are you? The people are looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else. Let's go to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So Jesus traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. The other communities needed his presence also. Preaching, kerygma, and serving by driving out the demons. Now, Jesus and you. Are you and Jesus? Jesus and me. What do we need him to do for us today? What do you need from him? Do you need salvation? He offers it. Do you have a spirit that you need cast out? Do you have a fever? You know, I don't feel that I have. I don't believe that I have the gift of healing. But I will promise you, we will pray with you if you have some ailment that you need to pray over. The elders will gather with you and the rest of the congregation with them, and we'll pray over it and ask God to do the healing. And I believe that God gives certain people, and I don't know how he determines that, but he gives certain people that gift to be able to heal people. But Jesus, being God in the flesh, was able to do it. What do you need from Jesus today? Just encouragement? Hopefully the church can give that encouragement. Do you see some fellowship of God's people? That's so important. The other thing is, what do we need to do for Him? What is He calling us to do for Him? Been talking about God calling people to ministry. What is He calling on you to do? And this might be the time that you say, I've been saved. I've got what Jesus needed me to get. I've got what He's given to me. I've got His salvation. I've got His Spirit living in me. Now I need to make a commitment to do something for Him. I need to make it public so I won't back out. You know, sometimes we can make a commitment, and if we don't tell anybody but ourselves, we can say, oh, we don't really have to do that. But if we tell somebody, and two or three people, then we feel committed. Some of God's people. And maybe there's something that you need to do for Him. This is a time that you would make a public commitment. Public is one thing, but private. All of us, I'm convinced every day that we can take something from Jesus that He offers us. Some blessing that He has for us. Receive it. It sounds better than taking, I think. And then there's something that we can do for Him that's just between us and Him. Just between us and Him. The 351. Moment by moment. Maybe difficult to start on the second verse, but let's start on the second verse and sing the second verse and the last verse. Second and the last. Second and third. Moment by moment. We're kept in His love. We are His. Let's affirm that through song this morning. If your commitment response is public, you're invited here to the altar as we sing.